Okay.
We're recording.
Okay. I'd like to call to order the meeting of the Public Safety Advisory Board for October 24th, 2016. Let's go around the room and identify ourselves.
Mike Stradley with the Police Department.
Dave Baker, Board Member.
Bob Martin, City Council.
Tom Friedland, Board Member.
Chuck Bowman, Member.
Beth Smolens, Resident.
And Christine Steele, Chair. Our first item on our agenda is to approve the agenda. So, are there any comments about whether we want to go with this agenda or add any items to it?
Do we need to make room for public comments, or?
Good question. We have. Well, Councillor Martin and Beth Smolens are guests tonight, so were either of you planning to make any comments?
You know, there's a couple of things we could talk about. I would maybe put them down here under items of interest or new business, but they're more just, they're very general. There's nothing really like an action item or something, just some questions. Ideas I wanted to talk about.
Okay. Anything else?
I was just wanting to come and see what you all were working on. I wanted to be here sooner, but my schedule didn't allow it, so.
Great. Welcome.
See what you're doing.
So, is it okay with the membership to add comments from Bob Martin to new business on the agenda?
So moved.
Been moved?
Second.
Seconded? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Okay.
I better think of some comments. It better be good too.
Better think about it. Did everybody get a chance to see the summary notes that Mark put together so skillfully for us? I was wondering if, you know, there's a notation in there about Joe's, what's her last name?
Becker.
Joe Becker's personal telephone number. And I had originally made the agenda, and the version I sent to Tony last month had Joe's telephone number. And I kind of did that just out of selfishness. I was afraid I'd forget the number when we had the caller during the meeting, so I put it on the agenda. And then I had second thoughts afterwards, like, yeah, maybe she wouldn't really want that published. And so I put in an email to Tony, and I asked her if she removed that from the published version. And so I was a little confused when I saw these summary notes from Mark about his under guest speaker, Joe Becker, and her telephone number are here, and then in brackets it says action delete slash edit out her contact info and so on. So I mean I would like to delete and edit out her contact info for these summary minutes, but I'm actually kind of confused about why they're in here to begin with.
I think it's only in there for you guys. Mm-hmm. I think the public version, and I'd have to confirm with Tony, but my understanding is public version is not, but I don't know that for positive yet, but I'll check.
So the minutes or for the agenda?
For any of it. She's deleting them except for you guys.
That's what I'm reading it to.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what she's doing.
Okay.
But I'll check to make sure.
Okay. So I would just, if we could, when we approve these summary minutes, if we could be specific about not wanting Joe Becker's telephone number in here, I think it would be
a good idea. Is that an action related to tech, or is that just...
I'm confused because it says action right here.
Well,
you'll see at the bottom of page
one. I kind of interpret what you guys did is that, okay, here's what we had. We had this person, this, and da, 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 and action, delete, action that was taken was to delete her contact information somewhere.
So
I'll confirm.
Yeah, we'll just confirm that
confirm
it doesn't go into the record that way. Any other comments besides mine on the summary notes? Anyone want to make a motion then?
I'll move. Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the summary notes with verification from Lieutenant Stradley that Joe Becker's phone number will not be in the final copy. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And motion carries. Continuing business. Banners.
I just laid them out so you could see them. I thought they turned out great. Brian's done a lot of work for the city and was very easy to work with. You know, we went through the numerous edits. He was great. David caught at the very last second, instead of 120 inches, they're 96 inches because that's what the top of that thing is rather than the bottom is 120. And then instead of being 3 feet deep, they're 30 inches deep because 3 feet just looked too square and not enough like a banner. So
yeah.
There was a lot of input from a lot of different people, and the guy that we worked with was just great.
Yeah, they turned out great.
Yeah.
And the nice thing is we can use them for our canvas tent up at the concert series, but we could even use them here or down at the library for after neighborhood seminars. Mm-hmm.
Hang them up outside so they can see what we're doing in here.
Yeah, good.
So thank you for getting that for us.
Yes.
That's really nice.
Easy deal. You guys did all the work. It was great.
So where will they be kept now?
For now, I'm going to keep them in my office, just so you guys know that, and so I remember. If we come up with a better place, I'm fine with that, but I got room in my office, so... I think that's just the easiest. Anybody can, you know, any sergeant can get in there or anybody, you know, any of the bosses or Tony or anybody. So they'll be open and, you know, access to you. But that way we'll all know where they are. Because I know if I put them somewhere else, I'm going to forget.
Thank you. Beautiful job. And makes us feel more official. I think it will draw people to our table.
Oh, there's no, and it looks professional. So I was really happy to get it done.
And just for the sake of our guests, what the plan was is to have three banners. One is for the Public Safety Advisory Board, and the other would be to separate our two major initiatives. One is Map Your Neighborhood, and the other is Teen Driver Safety. So we could alternate from one concert to the other what the emphasis is on, you know, the different outreach events. Okay. Well, Stefan?
Hi there.
Hi. You got here just in time because you're second on the agenda for an update. Are you prepared to give it?
Right from the kindergarten soccer field to your table. luckily, this is our last practice, so my tardiness won't continue. So update-wise, we actually, just to let you know, we sent a contingent, a small group, to the Portland incident that you're all probably aware of. What's really interesting, just to share with you, is one of the biggest challenges in those is getting information out. So we sent some public information officers, myself and one other, to go support and making sure they were supported, especially when crew members or firefighters are injured. It can be really hard for a department to then staff up those functions and keep all the resources in play. So that was something that we did recently that was luckily worked out really well as far as no loss of life and no major injuries. And all three firefighters are recovering. Besides that, I think the updates I gave last time are probably the latest. We haven't had too much happen in between.
So you're still in the process of an application for the new station up on top of In Springs?
So I can't remember the time, but it has been accepted, the application.
Okay.
We're just waiting for a hearing date, at which time then that will be public and it'll go before. We'll have a public date for everybody to come in and share their input on it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, up in the Hidden Springs neighborhood.
Is that where the old station was?
No, it's actually, that's a little bit further down Rosemont.
Right.
Yeah, this is on Hidden Springs, right in the backside of, which school is that?
What's the new one?
Trillium.
Thank you. It basically butts up against the back of that property. Mm. And it's kind of like a horseshoe right now around an existing property. Okay. So.
Are you taking the whole horseshoe or just one side?
It looks like the plans we have right now are a station on one side. That'd be if you're facing the property on the left side. And then there'd be a drive-through for the engine all the way through the property. But there's quite a few easements and other things on the other side of the property that it doesn't seem advantageous to develop a station that's a horseshoes pattern.
Uh-huh.
So instead it'll just be the drive-through so the engine can come around.
I see.
And not have to block Hidden Springs and back in.
Because you're putting a big rig up there.
It's going to be a tiller is what they forecasted as the right fit up there. And it actually, so it's a little bit longer, but it actually sits shorter, which is really nice for ducking tree leaves and also for mobility, because it has a tiller person in the back steering it as well. So if you think about the streets up there and trying to get a large aerial ladder truck through those areas, having that mobility really helps. Plus, for the citizens of West Lynn, having a triangulation of fire stations is something we've foreseen for a long time as a need to better serve that community that's up on the top of the hill. So, actually, I think maybe next time what I'll try and do is, or what I will do is bring a map for you guys that we created, which basically shows here's the before of what happens in this area when there's a medical call that needs advanced life safety or a fire, and here's the amount of assets we can get there currently.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we put a station there, it just completely changes some of that area's the impact of service. So I'll bring that in next time to share.
That's
with
great.
You.
Were you part of the group that presented to the neighborhood association up there?
I was, yeah.
Did you have anybody who didn't want the fire station up there?
We had three people that had, I think, some pretty strong concerns. But it was interesting, after we basically met with them afterwards to talk a little bit more, and one was just a neighbor that was going to be facing that property and was worried about what kind of retaining wall would be needed to level it and for excavation purposes. And so we were able to work with him and the architect to tier it a little bit more so that he would have not just a wall facing his property.
Nice.
And then the other concern was just, are we following within code compliance? And
mm-hmm.
so we connected him with our team, and he was able to get all of his questions answered. So I think whenever you're going to put in a tiller or a new station in a neighborhood that's established, there's lots of questions. So our biggest challenge is just getting the information out and making sure people know that we don't always go code 3, and we tend to take pretty good care of our property. And we want to be good neighbors, because there's lots of areas where we have fire stations in the middle of the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
But not everybody knows that. And I think they're, you know, going to have concerns, and we want to listen to those concerns about noise and other traffic issues.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you. Anything else?
No.
I've got a question.
Yes?
When you put a fire station in a neighborhood like that, does that change the insurance rates for the around there because you're so much closer?
It can. There's a couple of factors that play in there. First is the type of insurance you have. Not all of them recognize ISO, which is the fire factor in your insurance. Most of West Lynn enjoys, we're at a 2 right now, which is pretty good insurance. We're actually maybe going to try and see if we can bump that up higher due to some new assets we have. But for a lot of those areas, they may. The other thing we've seen in some studies is property values go up by having a fire station nearby. But again, it depends on your insurance, and it depends on the evaluator or the assessor.
Those are great points to make when you talk to the neighbors.
Right.
You're right.
Yeah, just let them know that benefit.
Yeah.
Okay, next item, the Map Your Neighborhood program. I guess I'll do the update since Grant has not been too available this summer, and he's been referring most of his, or all of his, the queries to me. And I have handed out three buckets and materials to people giving meetings in their homes. And I made an executive decision to hand the bucket out when the homeowner comes and is at a serious enough stage to request the workbooks, you know, specific number of workbooks and invitations for the meeting. I think trying to catch them later is more difficult. And even though it seemed like it would be a good incentive to try and find out exactly what area they covered, which is some data that we'd really like to capture, it still is one of those situations where once somebody doesn't need anything from you anymore, it's hard to kind of get them to give you their feedback and get in touch with them. Plus, I had one of the people who was going to be holding a meeting had the great and really selfless idea to use that starter bucket as a door prize. So I thought that was a really good incentive.
At the very least, if they don't do something like that, at least people get to see what's in the bucket at the meeting. I think that's important.
And I think the most impressive thing is that tool that turns on and off the, the natural gas main. Yeah. So anyway, that was real gratifying to just have some people expressing interest. Okay. And one person in particular really caught my attention. Her name is Judy Wickman, and she may be putting in an application for this advisory board at the end of the year. She came to me with just a whole raft of information that she had accumulated in preparation for holding a Map Your Neighborhood meeting in her neighborhood. And she was better prepared than I was. I couldn't believe it. And she had read the whole website presence about Map Your Neighborhood that we have on the city's website. And I was kind of embarrassed because some of those items on there are kind of out of date. And she was trying so hard to get a hold of Grant because Grant is named as being the contact. And it just drove home to me that this material on the website is due for an update. But she had the Living on Shaky Ground pamphlet, and she had been to talk to Courtney, and Courtney had given her additional information on emergency preparedness, which is a sidebar, is a whole different thing. I think we're working in parallel with Courtney, and that's something that we kind of need to capitalize on and figure out, because she may be able to do part of our outreach and part of our work for us, and maybe already is, and we're not even aware of it. So she had met with Courtney. Courtney had given her different information and literature. And so, like I say, she was really well prepared. And when I made the comment to her that we could really use her on this committee, she said, well, you know, I've been looking for volunteer, I'm a new retiree, and I've been looking for something that's meaningful to me. And I had worked for a while with an insurance company in disaster recovery, and I might be interested. So I'm very hopeful that that comes to something. Hello.
Hello there.
Welcome to the advisory board.
Hello.
How are you?
Let the record show that our two late ish arrivals were Stefan, is it Myers?
Stefan Myers, yeah.
Yeah, from TVFNR, and Eileen Stein, from who's our city manager. So the rest of my report on Judy Wickman, who may come as a guest to our next meeting and kind of check us out, is that I'm probably not going to be reapplying when my two-year assignment is over at the end of this year. So I think she would just, between her and Chris Duncan and all of their experience that they've already, and the interest that they've already shown with the Map Your Neighborhood program, I think that I can see them becoming the next Denny and Grant. Not speaking anything about Grant, but, you know, we know Denny has moved away. And I do think that they could inject a lot of new energy into the program.
On the emergency preparedness, one of the things I'll say is that there was an email put out after the Portland deal by Northwest Natural Gas to all of the police departments and whatnot, and there's training available for first responders that they put on, even up to scenario-based type training. So we're going to look at doing that for us and some of the surrounding agencies around us in this room in the reasonably near future. It's always a good idea, but this circumstance just highlights it. You know, we got plenty of construction going on around here.
Right.
You could easily have the same type of event. So we're going to do something like that. And when we do, I'm going to try to get permission so I can invite you guys if you want to just be exposed to it. And I don't think that will be a problem, but I haven't gotten that permission yet, but I will ask.
That's great.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that mm-hmm. you're going to be parting ways with the group. It's been really great working with you, and I think we've moved
He's
the needle.
Here. She hasn't left yet.
Not yet. Well,
that's
true. It would be great if we could get Judy to come, mm-hmm. you know, and we could start talking about like transition and kind of succession planning a little bit, so we can keep the momentum that we've been building in the last year or so.
I invited her to this meeting. She had another commitment, but she did put us on her calendar for November, so let's be on our best behavior. No spitwads. The third thing that I had on the agenda under Map Your Neighborhood program was I got an email from Joe Becker wondering what the group had thought about our telephone conference with her at our last meeting, and I don't think we discussed anything after she hung up. We had a pretty full agenda. So I was so happy to see that Mark had captured so much of it in his minutes. And I'm just wondering if, you know, she proposed a lot of trying to think of the word interaction between Willamette Falls CERT and this group. And as I recall, earlier this year we talked about if we had any interest in maybe having a member go to some of the CERT meetings over there in Oregon City, and I detected that we didn't have a lot of interest in doing that. So I'm just wondering how the group is feeling at this point about interacting with Willamette Falls CERT and, you know, what that might look like if we do.
Has anybody been through the CERT program besides me?
You've been through the CERT program?
Oh, yeah. Several years ago, but mm-hmm. I went through it a couple of times.
So,
I taught one of the pieces of it. So
have you been to their training sessions or have you been to their meetings?
I've been to the training.
Okay.
I did, with Lake Oswego, so mm-hmm. that's my limitations of what I know, but mm-hmm. I both went as a member, then I taught some of the sessions that they had there mm-hmm. on emotional reaction to disaster and so forth.
Really?
It's a great program.
Yeah.
I learned how to do all kinds of things I hope I never need to know. But
yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you are in yourself.
So were you a member of Lake Oswego, sir, that one time?
They have, I think if I'm mistaken, they've got about 400, 500 people that have gone through the CERT program. Mm-hmm. And they're doing it again right now. So.
Right.
But the training is to have enough people out there who know what to do, not necessarily have a list. Mm-hmm. So if we have a disaster and this big guy down the street knows how to lift boards off people or knows how to apply a tourniquet or knows how to talk to somebody and go, what's going on? They don't care whether you have a certificate or a little tag that you have.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Although they all have hard hats and bags. I got mine in an outside building in case my house falls down. I can find that. When I took it, I lived down by Mary Young State Park. There's a housing complex. Since I moved down here, I don't really have any neighbors. Mm-hmm. Businesses on both sides of mm-hmm. and a school down there if it was during the daytime or that's used to be the police station. I could go down there and help, but I would encourage the program. I think it's a wonderful program to have, and it came out of Los Angeles County mm-hmm. when they had the Loma Prieta mm-hmm. disaster. They created that training list.
So, and I've been on their website. My understanding is it's actually a federal program. Mm-hmm. And the advantage that people in, and we said this before, with Clackamas County as their fire district, that the training is something that's done by their personnel, a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And so we don't have that kind of a resource to draw on here in West Lynn, although if we wanted to steer people to the Willamette Falls CERT, then they could take advantage of that training. But I guess the question is, do we as a group want to kind of add that to our list of interests and things to do, or do we want to maybe hold off?
Contending with what we have at the moment. And I thought Jill Baker's interaction was more informative mm-hmm. to us, but she wasn't seeking actually a relationship. At least that's what I got when I asked what her purpose was, what mm-hmm. she was trying to accomplish with us. Mm-hmm. It seemed to me that she was more providing just an information link where we had some additional resources to potentially supplement what we're doing with Map Your Neighborhood. I didn't get the feeling that from that she wanted a follow-up as to what our intentions were.
That's true.
But I certainly think that that she had some resources that might prove beneficial in looking at implementation of Map Your Neighborhood, which is our bailiwick. But I don't know if there's really was a goal or an effort to try and establish any particular bond or link.
Well, according to Mark's notes,
ask us to be linked to them.
She asked that we consider engaging with them on training, resources, information sharing, media support with mentioning things on Nextdoor.
Evaluating what she was asking, it seemed a little bit on the promotion side. I think it's great that we have partners, regionally that we work with and share information and learn from each other. But I think as a board, we need to be mindful that we do have a partner in this area, in Tuolumne Valley Fire. And when we get down to the social media outreach, we'll talk about kind of what Stephen and I have been working on. But Tuolumne Valley is our partner here. I just think that we should focus on working with them. I appreciate Joe and what she's trying to do.
I agree that I don't think we should spread ourselves any thinner than we already are. I think having these two major interests, being the Map Your Neighborhood program and the teen safety, for the size of this group, I think that's plenty. Although I would be happy to go and speak to them about the Map Your Neighborhood program or something like that, it's so funny, I don't remember near as much as what Mark recorded, but if that is what we talked about, I'd be glad to go talk to them about, you know, how the Map Your Neighborhood program works.
You know, I think, we're focused on Map Your Neighborhood and teen driving safety, but in terms of long-range planning, we should take a look at CERT, and, there's opportunities to learn from Tiger and Beaverton and maybe engage with city staff over there just to kind of learn about, what those cities do. Mm-hmm.
What I'd recommend, at the very least, if you had somebody at any point that wanted to go through their training, it's like what we do. We go and fire, same thing. We go lots of places and do training. We don't necessarily bring back everything, but we almost always find good stuff that we can then add to the program we're doing. So I think if there's somebody that's from this group that's interested in going and going through that training, I think you'll find valuable things from it that you can then incorporate to what you're doing here.
There's also a local group. Are you guys aware of REL? It's Resiliency of West Lynn. And it's a group that meets Sunday afternoons at the Robinwood Station. I haven't heard about them or from them for maybe a year. But this is a small group that, according to their literature, they're interested in resiliency in a matter of emergencies, but also economics. And, there's several prongs to their mission. But I did notice a couple members in that group. I did see them at an Oregon City CERT meeting that I went to. And they are doctors and dentists, and I do think that they may have weighted their group more towards preparedness than, overarching type of resiliency. And I think it would be a good idea to sort of see if there's any opportunity for cross-pollination with them too. They might also be a good group to get involved with us and CERT. Maybe be a bridge, who knows?
Well, okay. My take on the thing is that CERT is a broad-based general training put on over a year for individuals to go and learn how to function in emergency. Map Your Neighborhood is an encouragement on our side to try to create people with resources that they can use for whatever their particular situation is when it's going on. My guess is if you handed your neighbor the little tool that shuts off the gas, they'd look at it and ask you what it was. It's like a spanner wrench, What the heck is that for? But you can't open a hydrant without something like that. So you can't use a bunch of specialized kinds of tools. With Map Your Neighborhood, you would go use all those tools actually on the ground. Where we would say, well, you got to get that tool that we have. Neat looking tool. I've got one in that blue bag in my truck. But I would hand it to my wife and say, run out there and shut off the gas. Because she wouldn't know what to do. So I think there's the difference is I think both of them have merit. Both of them have value. But both of them are aiming at a slightly different target.
Well, in the interest of women everywhere, I'll have to say that I live alone, and I have one of those tools, and I know how to use it.
Well, good for you. I'm not, I'm just talking about my wife, okay?
I've jiggled my gas meter just to make sure that is going to turn in an emergency, being careful not to turn it off at the time, but yeah.
That's a really good point, though, about looking at the reach and getting our message out. And I think from where we're at right now as a board, we want to be, getting the message out to as many people as possible.
Right.
And then maybe we can start to fine-tune at a certain point, start engaging smaller groups and going kind of to the advanced level.
Well, if you had 1,000 people in this town that had mapped their neighborhood resources and had gone through that, then a CERT program, I think, would be a really highly valuable next step, if that's the case. Or maybe you guys have something you trained.
I was going to say, with Map Your Neighborhood, I think you can also think of it as a good assessment tool. And you always have to kind of assess what your resources are before you go and try and fill in the gap.
Right.
So the work we're doing in Map Your Neighborhood is actually very complementary in starting that process, because then as a neighborhood, I mean, I realize we don't have, you know, we have deficiencies in certain areas, and maybe as a group we'd benefit by, you know, going to a Lanet Falls CERT training or another training that's out there. But this is kind of like a great first step before you move to step two.
Very grassroots.
Yeah.
And very necessary. And nothing else than to just help people think about an emergency and think about their neighbors and start to talk coordination. Okay.
I got one more thing for this agenda item. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of thinking about goals for 2017 for the board. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I'd like to urge the group to do is figure out how we can do an assessment for where we're at right now in terms of who's gone through the program. So next year we can kind of tailor our outreach efforts around maybe revisiting homes that have gone through the program and would like a refresher, or maybe somebody's moved. You mentioned creating kind of a Google map where we can have a digital map that we can, it would be a lot easier to update and share. But I think that would be something, you know, November, December, as we're kind of brainstorming for next year to have on the list.
We can certainly make a request to Courtney, and then also on the police Twitter and Facebook to request, you know, please send us an email at this email address if you've been through the training. Let us know how things look. Do you need an update? We can certainly request that information in that way. We can also request it at the fair, and then at the what you guys did at the music deal. We can start really aggressively trying to recontact people, because I don't think there's an email list that currently exists of people that have been through it. I mean, Grant may have some.
So this is, I think I may have showed this to you guys at the last meeting. This is the beginning of the list of the people who've either been through it or have requested information. And this all came to me from Denny in a box. Really needs organization. I mean, we've got all these wonderful people who have expressed interest, given us contact information, and to the best of my knowledge, there hasn't been a second step where we would send out a blanket email and along the lines of, you know, we hear you're interested and may or may not have had a meeting, and we, you know, we're trying to compile information citywide. Bob?
Would you like me to put that into an Excel spreadsheet for you so that you could use it for mailings and things like that?
Can you do that?
I was going to say, and then even develop a MailChimp account.
Yeah, once you have it.
Where you can start to have your, which is probably going to be, you're going to have to rely on some electronic media.
This is what we need. This is what we need. That's very kind of you to offer.
Just typing it in.
I was going to say that this kind of thing, if Courtney had the bandwidth, we could ask of her.
Well, that'd work too. I would draw my bond out if she didn't have the time to do it all.
Okay, we'll put you down a second. And I actually was going to talk one-on-one with Eileen tomorrow, and I'll talk with her. You know, greater depth maybe about whether she would be available for this at the time.
If you run out of options, I can. I have an officer on light duty that, although I'm keeping him pretty busy, that's mm-hmm. something he would hate, and
something he would
hate. And I can have Francis help him set up a spreadsheet to type into.
So when I asked you before about a database and you responded that the program you used was PDF, then that's not a database.
Well, no, that was different. That was for what we have set up for emergency business contact information. Mm-hmm. We have it set up in a PDF book so that it's searchable in different ways by the date that it was input, by the address numbers, and then by name. And so it's it's a real small file, so we can put it on all of the, mm-hmm. the car computers. So, that, but no, this we can do in an Excel spreadsheet.
Okay.
All right.
There you go. Thank you.
And my offer still stands if he rebels.
Well, I think the problem might be he might get well real fast.
Yeah.
No, I think, and I haven't heard the very latest, but I think there's some more time, so this will be okay. a good project. It needs to be done.
Excellent. Glad that came up. Anything more on Map Your Neighborhood?
Well, I sent out an email attachment of a PowerPoint presentation
That's
put together
right.
a couple of years ago,
yes.
which has kind of fallen on deaf ears when I sent it out the first time. Mm-hmm. And I got word about, from I think it was Denny, a couple months after I had sent it out, that he never could download it or it came up weird on that. Mm-hmm. But at the fair and all these other events, you've been talking about not having something to draw people in. Mm-hmm. As a concept, a potential public safety announcement type thing, I put a narrated PowerPoint together that's about 60 seconds that just kind of highlights the potential disasters that might befall a community, and that, you know, Map Your Neighborhood through the Westland Police Department is a possible option. I don't know if anybody... I know you got it. You didn't download the sound.
I didn't download the sound.
And all it is background music yeah. other than a short narration or a statement at the on the opening slide and the closing slide. Originally put it together, like I said, 2 years ago. It kind of disappeared in the committee. And then as I'm listening to everybody talk about what happened at the events, that you'd like something like that, so I figured I'd re-bring the issue up again. Yeah. I don't know who saw it, who didn't. I did bring my computer that has it. I don't know if the battery's going to hold out or not. I don't know if you want to hear it or see it, if you want to do something with it. It's up to you guys.
Did anyone else look at it?
I did. I've been thinking about, you know, how that could be deployed, and mm-hmm. there's definitely a couple options there. Maybe even if we at some point take a look at our website and have kind of a almost like YouTube video or some sort of presentation like that.
Like I said, it's a concept. I happen to be doing a lot of stuff with narrated PowerPoint, so it was a very easy thing to pull together with some searches on Google for photos. I don't know if it got cut off in the city email or not, if Mike got a copy or not.
I didn't get it.
I watched it. I actually saw it as valuable without the sound for the concerts, because mm-hmm. it's very difficult to even make yourself heard mm-hmm. when you're talking to people at the concerts in the park. But to have something like that going on a loop, just the mm-hmm. pictures.
I think I did set it up this loop. I don't know if you want to take 60 seconds to see it. For those who don't have access to it from that, Mike, it's on the flash drive for you.
Okay. I'll grab it.
Assuming this thing works.
I mean, something like that we could even have. You know, we've got a TV informational thing that's on a loop out here. Mm-hmm. You could even put something like that as part of that.
That's a great, like for somebody in the waiting room?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Coming in to pay their fix-it ticket.
Yeah, yeah, that was the idea. And this is just, like I said, a concept. Somebody else could take it. You could get the community television to do something. And turn it into just about anything.
Do you know what the running time is on that?
60 seconds.
Okay, so it's a pretty
short loop.
That
was the original plan, was to keep it in that time frame. And I think the volume is up, so.
Disasters don't wait for invitations.
Show different kinds of disasters mm-hmm. in there. That year.
Yeah.
Are you prepared for the next disaster? Join the Map Your Neighborhood program. For information, contact the Westland Police Department.
Do we want the Westland Police Department as the first contact?
Yeah, we can change that.
I mean, this thing is just, like you said, it's a concept at this point. And where it was 2 years ago. So
I like it.
But you know, when I'm hearing gripes that you didn't have anything to have at the booth, I'm sitting here going, "We've had this for 2 years, so nobody's done anything with it."
I like that. And you could have for information, contact a number or websites, probably more where we'd want to direct people. But that
with
is
all of those contacts on there because. You know, depending on which group you're looking at, some want a phone, some want an email, some want a website, some want a Twitter site.
Or the city.
I would say, as a citizen, if I was going and looking at the committee or the work, the different advisory, to have that running on the city or something that was approved and polished with the city's approval, and running so that anybody could look at the advisory board, you know, without even reading minutes or agenda, what you're about. And it's a really clear message. I would think that would be a great goal for next year.
You know, I've watched Channel 30 a lot. I guess not too many other people do from what I hear, but it's our local government channel. And they might be interested in showing that too. I know they show little,
Maybe somebody converted into
they show little two or
a video presentation using that as a concept. But what's in here, use it, change it. I don't care.
The idea. That's a clear message.
Yeah.
So
it's
the way it is. It's a clear message.
It's a good one, Tom.
We could have had people without electricity for a week here on that windstorm if it had happened the way they said it was going to.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We had the emergency deal all ready to activate, and we had extra city workers and cops and everything. It turned out to be no big deal, but that, you know, they were talking about it like it was going to be the Columbus Day storm.
So, you know, that really segues us to our next agenda topic, which is social media outreach.
Yeah,
David, do you have any ideas for the next step for this particular thing?
I think there's lots of different potential uses for it. Let me think about that for a minute. What I can report to the group on, Stefan and I met over by the Starbucks at City Hall, and we came up with kind of a calendar of postings for Twitter. So it's twice a month, and it's broken down basically on 9 steps for Map Your Neighborhood. And we have a lead-in, and then we have each of the steps. And then within each step, there's a link where you can drill in and get more information. So, for example, with shutting off your natural gas, there's a video that I think it's from Northwest Natural. There's also some other videos that link back to Tualatin Valley Fire. And so this is great. We now have something that we can go to Courtney with and say, hey, it's all ready for you to turn the key and start going with this. So it's nice. So we're not putting additional work onto her, but we're giving her some tools to reach out to the community and help with our engagement and outreach.
So this Twitter comes from TVFNR?
I think this is going to come from the city, and then Tualatin Valley Fire can retweet if they wish, or the Westland Police can retweet, but I think everything is going to come from the city's Twitter, and then it can be linked with Facebook and Nextdoor. But we've started very simple with this. With Twitter, it's, I think, probably the most simple form of social media because we're limited to 140 characters and we're linking out, but this will at least get the ball rolling. And we've got, we've got plenty of content.
Yay!
And so, but we'll start simple and we'll build from there.
Yeah, we got a calendar for about 6 months. Mm-hmm. We started even with a hashtag Westland, hashtag prepared, which will help people get into that discussion a little bit more easily.
Well, a tweet, it's great for us too, because we'll just retweet it.
Yeah. But to your question, the credit would be to this Public Safety Advisory Board as far as content. But then the city would be the vehicle for pushing that out, and then we could all complement it. But to that end, we also talked a little bit about, and I think Courtney might have some opportunity to highlight some of the neighborhood associations as well, and some of the work that they're doing. So not only would we maybe talk about natural or emergency kit for one of them, we talk about here's an emergency kit that the Hidden Springs Neighborhood Association has, but give them kind of some pieces of this as well to make it local and a little bit easier to connect to.
Yeah, it's a great bridge to involve neighborhood associations because then we can start to reach people that may not be having an iPhone and have Twitter. So how do we reach people that, you know, relying on different means to get their information? So I think it plays really well with that. So I think there was an action item too. Courtney was going to go to the next neighborhood association president's meeting and present this idea. So that's kind of a work in progress too.
And this is nice.
And each tweet is, as he said, is a step. I mean, literally step one of map your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here's a neighborhood meeting kit. And then it just takes you step by step. So the hope would be that create more awareness about the individual process of map your neighborhood.
I think something really valuable that I show to people who are contemplating, you know, hosting a meeting is the city's handout on using Map Optics, which shows them how to access that on their own home computer and find their neighborhood and print it out on their own printer, and so they don't have to go bother city staff. But it's so much easier than using that gridded paper that's in the workbook where you're supposed to draw your neighborhood. So it's a great shortcut.
Yeah, you have to have a pretty creative person in that case.
Yeah. And
I think, an artist.
I think it's a little intimidating where people say, oh my gosh, if I have to do that, I'm no artist, I'm not going to do it. So I wonder if, would that have a place for the program? Maybe not.
Well, you know, there's plenty of opportunities to think about ideas and figure out how to deploy them, like the video. And and it's not one. I mean, it's we're going to be, over the course of time, we're going to be, you know, overlapping kind of solutions to reach as many people as possible. But with Twitter, it's, you know, it's we're getting started, so it's a good thing.
Is there a way to simplify Tom's video so you don't have to download the sound and the and the thing separately?
You can do the sound on a WAV file as opposed to an MP3, which at the time I didn't have the capability of editing. I do now. So I can convert the voice files into that and turn it into a loop. But I think the better idea is if you want to fine-tune that or have somebody else with a little more expertise, put it into, you know, a format you can use. It's in PowerPoint, so you know, it depends on what resources you have and what they want to do with it and how it wants to be placed.
Can you convert that to a YouTube video?
I have no idea how to do that.
I could probably do that
because
I have video editing software.
So and then you just have a link.
I can do lots of things with audio, and I can do lots of things with PowerPoint. Right. Video, YouTube, forget it. I'm lost.
Yeah, that's why we need young people. But if you have it, if you have it on YouTube.
Yeah, then that's, yeah, that gives you a lot of latitude. I can... I'll give Mike the copy I've got, but I can convert the voice files into a WAV and reformat the PowerPoint into that where it's embedded. The problem is it makes it much larger. I don't know how well it'll email. We'll have to see what the size is. Worst case, I can forward you a link to a Dropbox.
Yeah, that's fine.
I see what I do is I would run it on your put a camera on the screen.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I record it. And then
I had a friend that has some video capability, and it looked like crap, believe me. I said, no, Michael,
I've
we're
seen
doing
poor attempts like that.
Somebody else can deal with it, but he's really good with Photoshop. But, so if you got some stuff, you're not a wizard with that. But,
Mike Francis is a real, and he's a real wizard with this kind of stuff. He put together training videos for us, and they look very professional. And we have good video cameras, and he edits it all on his phone. It's amazing.
Wow!
And then can put it on YouTube or whatever. We've got all that capability.
Wow!
what I'll try and do this next week, I don't know what day I can, I will try and finagle that into the embedded format. I'll send both of you a link to the Dropbox.
Okay.
Because I know emails, your attachments get wiped out in the city.
If they're too big, yeah.
Yeah. So, but before next week, I should have it that way.
Okay.
Right. So, but I'll still give you the flash drive.
Just so we're clear, is David going to follow up, or is Mike Francis going to follow up with this? Because
with David, and we'll figure out what's
going on. Yeah, yeah, I think that'd be good.
Let's just you and I stay in contact.
Okay.
Yeah, because we don't want to have people working in parallel on this.
Yeah, I won't give anything to Mike unless that's what needs to be done.
Sounds good.
Not sure. We have to look and see.
Okay, team driver safety, are we ready for that?
Sure. Well, gosh, what day was it last week, the town meeting?
Friday.
Wednesday. So at the high school, there was a meeting for parents that was talking about substance abuse and bullying. And it's interesting because during that presentation, I was thinking a lot about team driving. How we get the message out to help teens make better choices behind the wheel. And, you know, I'm really glad that we're focused on teen driving, but it really is one part of a much bigger topic in terms of, you know, what we can do to...
And it got mentioned by several people. This was a deal where you had an ER nurse, I was one of the speakers, Julie Parrish, a psychologist talking about raising your kids. There was a mom there that had a kid that had gone way down the wrong track in substance abuse and how that looked and how they were coping as a family. And then another gal that was a master's in psychology or something dealing with a phone system, emergency phone system, like a crisis line for teenagers. It was a neat deal.
Yeah.
So a program for parents?
It was.
Okay.
Yeah. And they do programs for kids, but this one ended up parents.
Yeah, I was going to, on the 27th, so Thursday, there's the same kind of thing at the high school for kids, and looks like I'm going to be one of the speakers, and I'm with the kids, I'm going to focus a lot more in my little 10-minute talk on driving, and I'll mention this board and focus on, you know, that there's going to be upcoming events, and I'll just mention that. I don't know if it's volunteer. I know there are volunteers coming. They started with a small group, and now they're over 70. So I don't know. And some of those kids were there and actually spoke in this deal to the parents. And they were the actual kids. It's a TAB, Teen Advisory Board for the high school. But I'm going to have a chance to say a 10-minute little deal, and I'll mention you guys and what you're doing and the concern. And then, of course, I'll capitalize on my ability to talk about it from a very personal standpoint and from the police and try to educate them a little bit about why we're going to be looking for them to be doing stuff they shouldn't be doing in a car. So it'll be interesting. It's going to be a similar format, it sounds like. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, my takeaway from just being at this presentation was this is a group that we should definitely look at partnering with, or at least having some communication.
The TAB group.
The TAB group.
Yeah.
With the Pam Pierce's group.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, do you know who did the video on Mandy? It was on public television the other day.
You know, I don't. I don't know who did.
What was it called?
It was a call where two young people get killed.
Uh-huh. Out on Pete's Mountain Road here.
Call, so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen some very effective commercials on television put on by a group called Stop Texts, Stop Wrecks.
org.
Have you seen those? They're good.
They are good.
And I went to the website hoping to see those same commercials replayed. They have different videos, not the ones I've seen on TV, but... those are very effective.
Yeah.
Very effective.
What percentage of accidents are caused by texting?
You know, there's a lot of different communication on that right now, and nobody has a real strong answer. But I'll tell you, from my perspective, when you're talking about, and it's everybody, it's all ages are texting and driving, but if you're under 20 years old, you've been texting and doing everything for so long that, I mean, whether it's skateboarding or whatever, that it's just almost to the point of being natural. And we get, in this town, we get a lot of rear-end accidents where the kid was texting. I got blown off the freeway by a guy that was texting. I was in my own car several years ago, and he was 21 years old. So, I mean, it's definitely a problem, but it's not really captured very well in statistics because, first of all, people aren't very honest when they get in a wreck and they've been texting. No. But it's a real problem. There's no question about it.
Is it a greater problem than drunk driving?
Well, you probably weigh in on this too, Stephanie. I don't know if it's a greater problem. I'd say it's a significant problem. It does kind of the same thing. It creates an inability to react. People who are texting and driving look very similar to drunk drivers when you're behind them. Mm-hmm. They're weaving in their lane. They're speeding up and slowing down because they're so distracted. They're not distracted by chemical inducement, but they're distracted by what they're doing and looking up. And you get a lot of the same kind of behaviors, and you get a lot of the same kind of accidents, a lot of rear-end accidents, a lot of clipping things on the side of the road because they've drifted off to the road. We see a ton of accidents with distracted driving.
Yeah, we do a program called SKID that we do in partnership with a lot of different agencies, which is stop kids from intoxicated driving. And it's actually evolved to impaired driving because whether it's texting or other things, there's just so many distractions in the car nowadays. So that's one of the big challenges is, I think the frustrating thing I'll say, at least from the personal perspective for firefighters that are going to some of these, is it's so preventable, right? It's just putting a phone down. That'd be what we've seen so far. I don't know what the data suggests as to if it's surpassed.
It's easy to capture intoxicated driving, but people lie about texting. So even though I know that they were texting, they're not going to admit it about 90% of the time. But distracted driving is one of the things I'm going to talk about at this high school deal. And the other thing is, kids can't have passengers for the first 6 months that they have their driver's license. And the whole reason that's true is because it's easy to get distracted when you got a bunch of kids in the car and you're a brand new driver. And I'm going to make a real point that we're going to be looking, to give tickets. What I told the parents is we have an excellent judge in this town that does a fantastic job and works with us when it comes to a kid's first ticket. We don't necessarily want to ding the parents' insurance. If I give a kid a ticket, the judge will then give them a stern talking to. I'll work with the parents to have them plead not guilty. Judge gives them a stern talking to, sends them to the high-risk driving school, to Manual Hospital, which is an excellent school. All my kids went through it when they were young. And the ticket is dismissed and it doesn't go on their record. So they get a break, but it's not the same thing as a roadside break because they just feel like they got away with it if you give them a roadside break. There will be some communication that, we're going to be looking to give you a ticket. I won't tell them all the break stuff, but we are going to be looking to enforce that law, and we do now, but I want them to know why. And it's all about being distracted. I mean, when kids are driving, when they're brand new drivers and they're paying attention to their friends and yelling and hooping and hollering in the back seat, they get in accidents. We had one just a couple weeks ago up at Hidden Springs in Rosemont where that's exactly what happened.
So there's another thing that we've been working on, which is sponsored by a company called Tire Rack, and they put on a driving course that we now have $300 to give for scholarships. And Tom was the one who brought this to our attention. We missed sending people to the October one because we didn't have our funding available in time for signups. Tom, do you happen to know if they have released their schedule yet for their March course?
I haven't seen anything for March yet.
Okay.
But traditionally it's March and October at PIR. And you'd asked a couple of, I don't know if it was last meeting before, about a representative from the program presenting to the group. The local person to contact for that is now no longer in the area on a regular basis. One of their instructors, who's a dentist in either Westland or Lake Oswego, Dr. Chapman, his name was brought up, and he was copied on the email. I've not heard anything back from him if he was be able to present or not, given that we're not going to be able to move forward on much of anything until probably after the first of the year.
Yeah.
I haven't really pushed to follow up with him yet.
Just want to make sure we don't forget.
Yeah. And just
now
so you guys
know, we have our
know,
ducks in a row. Mm-hmm.
Make sure everybody knows the workaround, because you know you guys, the board doesn't have any way to hold money. There's no checking account or anything like that. So Denny gave the money, donated the money to the Westland Police beneficiary, and that money is being held earmarked for purchasing those scholarships. And so it's we just have them write a check whenever we need it. So it's ready to go.
Good. So since we're fortunate enough to have the city manager here, Councilor Martin, I do have one thing for both of you.
And I do need to leave in a couple of minutes.
Okay. That's okay. So the success of the teen driving program is going
to
be based on how we involve youth in this.
Yeah.
And we've seen with the youth council of Happy Valley that it's been just a really good success for them. It's something that they've taken on board. It would be really helpful maybe next year, it's a goal for our group, is to engage with the newly formed group. Maybe it's like a subcommittee of that group, or so we can kind of help and guide them. And eventually I can see this being something that we can hand off to that group that they could own.
That's a great idea.
But you know, I think if the message comes from their peers, it's going to be received well. The other thing is a group for 2017 that I'd love to do is work on bringing back the reconstruction of the crash. I had this at Lake Ridge High School. It was really impactful. We haven't done it because the car that they're using right now is Ms. Higgins' car. And I'd like to see that done, not necessarily at the high school, but at the junior high, so we get kind of maybe ahead of it a little bit when attitudes aren't quite formed. Because the thing that we're fighting is we're dealing with high schoolers, and they feel invincible. And they're at a point in their lives where, you know, they're tired of being told what to do. They have their own ideas.
Well, but then this TAB group is a big group to tap into. I mean, there's a bunch of them now, and they're growing. And it's you, if you get that peer pressure about being involved in a positive way like this, it just you can't buy that.
Yeah, great.
So well, I was going to mention that we did have a youth advisory committee. I wasn't sure if that was on the radar screen, this group or not. But
they meet at the library on Wednesday, because I think I'm speaking to them, and I'll mention this. I'm meeting with a group that Courtney asked me to talk to on Wednesday, the 26th. In the afternoon, 4 o'clock, I think, at the library, and I think it is that group. And I will, maybe you can even go with me if you're available.
Sure.
But I will definitely mention that this is something that you guys are working on, and that it's something where it sounds like a perfect group, because it's a group that's also very civically minded. They want to be involved in civics. So I'll get a contact from them. I'll kind of something I can bring back for next meeting.
You know, this is kind of, I don't know if it's crazy or not, but along with the team driving safely, do we do anything for seniors?
Oh, man, that's...
that hasn't come up.
I've spoke before at the senior center,
yeah.
And I stay available to do that. What we do really is deal with it on an individual basis. We cite people in certain situations into having to retest when we know they absolutely can't pass. We try to work with the families to take the keys away. But no, we don't have anything formal. And it's a real issue because we have a lot of elderly here.
Yeah, no, I mean, it seemed like a problem area and I hadn't heard anything about it.
Yeah, we can do more, I think, through the senior center. We've done some things, but we haven't done anything formal other than my talk at the senior center and availability to do that. That's about all we've done so far.
It's hard to get anybody to give up the keys.
It is. It's tough. I took them away from my father-in-law, who was World War II and a cop for 28 years. And
okay.
I had to say no. And he, you know, his daughter, my wife, and her his son, they were, no, we can't do it. So, you know,
my mother,
it's tough.
Thank you. Bye. Thanks for dropping in.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see you.
But I tell you, when those seniors start to text, there's the problem.
When they start to what?
Text.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, no, right. But they are, I'm sure. I was visiting my parents, and my mother said she was worried about my dad's driving and asked me if I'd get a watch and see if it was safe for him to drive. And so, you know, I said, Dad, let's go out to dinner. And he handed me the keys. And I said, no, you drive this time. So he drives, we got out there, okay, when we got ready, got in the car to get back. He comes out of the restaurant, it's a divided highway with median, and he goes straight across up over the median, completely blanks on the fact. And there's cars coming the other way, they tires squeal and everything, he's throwing around, and finally we get about two blocks, everybody's adrenaline settled down. And I said, Dad, I got to tell you, Mom asked me to have you drive to see if you were still driving, if it was safe for you to drive it. And I've got to tell you, you're driving about as well as you ever did. And my mother was like, but he eventually gave him up.
I heard a story about somebody's parent who was following the yellow line because they had gotten so senile. That's how they believed you were supposed to drive. You put your car, you put your left wheels on one side of the yellow line and your right wheels on the other side of the yellow line, and you just follow the yellow
line. That's true if you're in an airplane.
That's right. But you're not on a runway.
Well, maybe there are positive things that we can do. I mean, we're not the only place to have seniors. It might be worth looking around to see if there's a program.
It's a great idea, and I think educating their kids, which are all of us, you know, aren't my age, is the way to do it. Because we can do it individually, and we do it. It's a mean way to do it, but we give them a site for a retest, and they're suspended is what happens. And unless they pass the retest, which they never do. So it's a tough subject.
You just borrow your car, don't give it back.
Well, you know, in China, you can't get a license after you're 70.
Ouch. Beth, did you want to say something?
I was just, if we can, I was going to make a comment about the kids because I think this is just a great thing. And I was going to say that this civic group and the kids and the video and the tweeting, that is another avenue to remember that they are so electronically plugged in that the school newspaper, I mean, the whole thing can be sort of, the kids could take it on as a marketing thing through tweeting, through the newspaper, and use their creative energy to get the message out. So that was just my comment.
With the board's permission, I'll invite one of these kids to the next meeting or to whatever meeting you want. Mm-hmm. I'll get a good contact information, but I'll talk to them about this teen driving safety idea and invite one of them to the meetings so that you can talk to them about that specific thing. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, because kids, they're going to be looking for things to write. They're going to be looking for ways
to
express themselves.
You bet, that's great.
And they can get involved in the tweeting process for, you know, bringing it out down through the city and through the school. It's going to be huge.
Shall we put that on our next agenda? Do you think that's... Yeah.
Totally up to you guys, but I'll definitely make sure and get somebody here, and I'll try to get somebody here from the paper. That would be great.
Yeah.
You know, the paper?
The school paper.
Student paper, school student paper. Body paper.
Well, what about this youth advisory board, though?
Well, I'm thinking there's going to be people there that are also on the paper. I'm just guessing.
So
but
maybe,
somebody from there for sure.
Maybe do a little recruiting to come to our next meeting when you give your presentation. Is that what you're thinking?
Well, I'm thinking of having them come to the next meeting to get information. Somebody that's either maybe one or two kids, one from this civic group, and then if I can get one of them from the civic group that's also associated as a writer or editor on the paper, and I'm just guessing that they're going to be one and the same. But one or two kids, I'll get them to come here so you guys can ask questions.
Okay.
That'll be good.
Okay. Okay, we're down to new business, and Councillor Martin wanted to bring a thing or two up.
Well, I'm not sure it rises to the level of comments, but first I wanted to tell you that I really had hoped to be able to come to more of your meetings, and then it seemed to always coincide with the council meeting, or you know, Mondays are busy, and I was out of action for a couple of months this summer, so I apologize for not getting here more often. I have been able to do some ride-alongs recently, and those have been really instructive. I really enjoyed those. One thing I noticed during the ride-alongs, and I think we've talked about it, is the information systems that we have in the cars require the officers to type in the address of the plate if they want to check on a car. And these guys are amazing how they can multitask. You know, not only do they are they able to do that, but they see about 20 other things at once. I was just astonished at that.
It's true distracted driving.
Well, but there you go. But it is. It's still a kind of, you know, imposed distracted driving. They have to learn that skill. So it seems like, and this is, again, a nationwide problem. And so I know there are a couple of possible solutions. One would be some sort of audio, you know, like you ask Siri, you say the plate number and it tells you if there's a problem. Another would be there are automatic plate scanners that can scan. And I think if they have something like this, it can really enhance both their safety and their performance. And so nothing's easy when you start talking about software and information systems. So I've just started. It's just an idea. It's just an area that I'm interested in, you know. And I've talked to Shane a little bit about it. You know, we've talked. Mike, Francis, and I talked a little bit. I'm just at the level where I know just enough to be dangerous, just enough to cause trouble. And I'm not going to bring up any initiatives, you know, right away. I've got a lot more research and learning to do. But it is an area of interest that unless somebody tells me it's not worth pursuing, I'll probably continue to chase. So, and it seems like if we did something like that, we'd want the support of this board, you know, in going to the city and getting it in the budget. If that's the way things work, I didn't want to presume. You know, if all that's done within the police budget, then and there's no need to do it outside, then you know, just.
Well, I think anything like that comes from a citizen-based committee is, it just makes it more serious. You know, if we come up with the idea, a lot of times that just doesn't look as appropriate as if a citizen-based committee comes up with an idea that makes sense and has safety factors to it. Yeah, the plate readers, Portland has several. Clackamas County has one. They're pretty expensive. And I've on occasion, for specific reasons, I had a Portland plate reader out here with the gang team at a gigantic party we had here in town a few weeks ago. And so it's available to us for very specific needs. The other stuff that, you know, Shane, and I know you have a history in that, as far as the voice commands, I know there already is in some police cars voice readers where if I plug in a plate, I don't have to look at the screen for the information. It audibly comes over the system that I can hear the plate. And one of the things that we have in this town that you don't have in bigger towns is I can pick up the radio and run a plate anytime I want. You can't do that in a big city. You simply can't do that. You can't do that in Portland. You can't, you know, give me this information on a plate. You can run plates and people all day long here on our dispatch because we're lucky to have our own dispatch. And they're phenomenal. They do a fantastic job at taking care of their police officers. That's the way they view it. But the technology does exist for some of that, and I'm not sure how that would all work. But the plate readers are expensive. But I'd love anything that can come through these guys benefits us, I think.
Well, you know, one of the benefits of talking about this is that you start off with some Star Wars kind of system, and then you realize, pencil and paper, that would, you know, you get all of that. And what you just said is I missed entirely because I got the fact that you can just
ask somebody, you can say the plate number. They can look at it and tell you if it's expired license or no insurance.
Right. Well, and here they'll do not only that, they'll run the driver, they'll run the registered owner, they'll look, I'll ask, if I'm on the freeway, I won't plug in a plate, I just won't do it. Me personally, I'm just getting too old, I'm too slow. I'll do all of it, but if I want to know a physical description of the registered owner who's suspended, if any information I want, they can get it way quicker than I am because they're better at it, and they'll do that over the air, where in busier cities, that are like, you look at Washington County Dispatch, they're dispatching multiple cities at the same time. And you can't ask those kind of questions on that radio net because they won't give it to you. They don't have the time and they intentionally do not look it up. Here, if I run a plate, without me asking, they're also punching in the registered owner to see if there's any warrants. They're doing all kinds of stuff. So we have the ability to get much of this verbally now. But what you're watching is a guy that's driving around, he sees a plate, plugs it in just to see if it comes up as something where there's a concern, a suspended driver, a warrant. And the guys are very good at that. But there is an audible feedback system that is already working.
So of those different options, which is most, I mean, you have one option where it's you on the, it's all radio. You go on the radio, they look it up, they read everything back to you on the radio. You've got one where you type in the plate, get audio back. You got one where you type.
County does. We don't have that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's a possibility. You got one where you type in the plate, you have to read it. Which of those is best for you?
I don't mind typing it in. If it came back in an audible way, so I didn't have to look at the screen and read, especially, small print, okay, expired, such and date. I'd love that. I've heard those tapes from county. I've heard how that works, and it seems to be pretty neat deal. They also have, it's hooked in with their cameras in the car systems, which we don't have.
Well, text to speech has been around for a long time.
Right. And maybe that's what it is. That must be what it is.
Yeah, that doesn't seem difficult at all. Yeah. Speech to text is a lot harder. But again, should be available.
That version of being able to run a plate with your voice, yeah. I've never heard of that yet.
Would that be desirable over typing it in? I mean,
it'd be great if it worked. I mean, you punch a button and say the plate.
Yeah.
I never have to take my eyes off it. I can see there being a real market for something like that if it worked.
Just to kind of piggyback on what you're talking about here, I think this would be a really kind of exciting thing for the board to look at. Maybe not necessarily dive in and research technologies, but at least provide some citizen input on things that would be helpful and make our policing service better and more efficient. And just one idea, when I went on the ride along with Officer Abels, he had a body cam. And so he was able, when he was processing DUIs, to record the entire incident. So later in the night, he could go back and write his report. So you look at the time that it takes to write a report, for him, it's a lot faster to have it videotaped. It's a lot more, well.
It's tremendous evidence.
Yeah. So, and having that option for, officers to have that kind of equipment if they would like, if that would aid in their policing, it'd be nice.
That's a whole interesting subject. Currently, we don't have any body cams, including him. That's more of a conversation between the union and its membership and management. So currently we don't have that. Abels now uses an audible recorder, but he's not allowed to use video recorder. So that's something that we are looking at. I would love to have body cams. I think body cams protect police officers. But it's a conversation that is going to take some time to get through. It's a nationwide conversation. We are not a right to work state. We have unions that are very strong, which is a great thing for the cops. I'm not saying that's a bad thing at all. But it is a conversation that needs to be really done right. And so we are in that process.
One suggestion I would make is it would be helpful for you to go to dispatch and sit in dispatch for a couple hours and just watch.
It's a great idea.
Because they do three departments. Yeah. Last night, like us, we go to Milwaukee.
I would love to do that.
And, it's at the police headquarters in Lake Oswego. So that would be a real...
We can set you up with that anytime.
Okay.
Just to listen.
We do that first thing for all our new recruits.
Oh, really?
Okay.
And if you want to hear what's going on in the election, give you a set of earphones so you can hear both sides of the conversation.
In many respects, it's a harder job than what we do because everything they do is blind.
Yeah.
They can't see anything, and they have to word picture for us. They have to understand what it is we're telling them and be able to picture it on a map. I mean, it's a crazy difficult job, which is why it's always hard to hire good dispatchers.
Yeah. Stress.
Yeah, thank you. I'd love to do that.
Anything else in this category? This is about the time papers start to shuffle and people start putting on their jackets.
I've got them on the plane. Quick packing my bag.
So, last on our agenda is items of interest from members or staff that we haven't already covered.
There's one just quick one that I noticed that's happening on Nextdoor. And this is being used, the social media is being used in a way that where somebody has a neighbor that's speeding and posted a photo of the car and is soliciting the community's input. Have they noticed a problem with this, you know, with this driver? And I think it's just something to pay attention to because we've got, I've seen in other communities where people are, you know, presenting one side of the story and not giving the person that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's.
It's kind of. I don't know, you know.
Encourage them to call us. We take a lot of input from areas where people are having problems. I personally go and monitor areas and write warnings and write tickets. And I have my newer guys, I give them projects on an area where we're getting multiple complaints. Posting pictures and stuff, I'm a little leery about that. That's not great.
Might be good to have Sergeant Francis pop on Nextdoor and just take a look. And
okay.
Yes,
I will.
That's a great idea to have
yeah,
monitor
what are the
that.
Criteria? That's another thing.
There
is the criteria for Nextdoor. I mean, I know that they have some restrictions, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of the Wild West at the moment. So.
Yeah, I don't think anybody really has administrative rights exactly, do they? I mean, there must be something.
There's community leads, and maybe... one of the community leads is my neighbor. Maybe I'll just have a chat with her and kind of take her temperature on this. Because
during this time of year, with politics, we have a lot of, I'm just going to touch on this real quick. We have a lot of political signs. We get a tremendous amount of pressure to remove signs. And we do remove some. The ones that are very obviously outside of the city ordinance, without regard to whose they are. Now, we always get accused that we're somehow trying to support somebody or not support somebody. That's not true. But we also are going with the spirit of the law, where if it's in somebody's yard and it's 2 inches, you know, we're not measuring. If it's close, because we can't be involved in the politics. And we want to avoid that perception. But in case you hear that we're doing everything wrong, one of the light duty officers' jobs has been to work with Peggy and to take signs that are obviously wrong, and we put them in a place in City Hall where the people can get them back. But we are being very careful to also protect people's First Amendment rights to support who they want to support. We are not going to go out there and just be crazy and jerk up all these signs we're just taking the ones that are clearly violating the ordinance. So if you hear that we're not doing any, and there's a piece of property as you come down the hill on Salamo that's actually Clackamas County property. We can't enforce City of West Lynn laws or ordinances on Clackamas County. Now, we get a lot of pressure to do so, but that would be unlawful. You know, and so that's a place that people get very concerned about, or if you're coming in on Rosemont, that's all Clackamas County on the far side of the road. So just so you guys know, if you do hear complaints, you can assure them that we are doing the best we can, but we will undoubtedly make one person mad because we took this sign and didn't take this sign. There's no question this time of year we're going to have a lot of that. And we do every year. Peggy, our CSO, our ordinance gal, was in tears the other day because of being absolutely rudely badgered on the phone by someone who was absolutely insistent that she do this, that, or the other thing when she knew she couldn't. It had to do with the Clackamas County property. And so it's a little bit out of control right now, which I understand, emotions are high, but be assured that if
we are doing everything we can within the law, but we are also at the same time being very careful that we aren't viewed as being supportive of one thing or the other or one person. You know, we just can't do that. So there's going to be a few more signs around, you know, than maybe some people would like, but it's not because we're not out there taking the ones down that are in obvious not in compliance. We are doing that.
You know, one kind of funny thing, but in some ways the best thing you can do is to do nothing.
That was my suggestion, is during this time of year, but we kind of weren't allowed to do that. But during this time of year, I agree with you, to say that this time of year on political signs, if it's connected to your property, you know, if it's obviously if the person who owns the property wants them taken down, that they can take them down. But
what I'm getting at is that if you publicize what the law is on signs, you know, it's 2 feet back from the sidewalk, 3 feet back from a road. Mm-hmm. If people know that, then when they see signs that are right next to the sidewalk, they know that the person who put that sign up is either unaware of the law or they don't care about it. And that's what the sign's telling them.
Right.
And that's, I mean, what could be better than and more just than that? All you have to do is let people know what the law is. And then here's somebody advertising, like I said, either they don't know or they don't care. Yeah.
Everybody knows, everybody that is really, really concerned about this issue, we don't advertise the ordinance. They know it by heart. They carry tape measures.
If the city, if the people who are trying to be, who are trying to influence with the signs, if they know it, that solves the sign problem. Because who running for office is going to put a sign up illegally when they know that people know that it's illegal?
Well,
you're an optimist.
I love the way you think. I think there's a spirit of the law, and then there's, you know, I mean, if there's a sign in the medium of the road as you're going, that's clearly out of bounds.
Right.
So we take those. But if it's in a person's yard and they didn't quite get it 2 feet back, we're not going
to
touch them.
Or they don't have 2 feet to get it back.
Sure. And there's
which
a,
in a lot of cases, that's a problem. Because
but it's still
expensive.
In their yard. Yeah. We just have to be very careful that we're not suppressing someone's First Amendment right based on a ruler. I mean, we want to be managing the spirit of the law, and we do, but we have to be very careful about that. In my opinion, we have to be very careful because we can be viewed as taking a side, which we can't do. We are not in the business of having a public opinion on any issue. We are just in the business, or any person, we're in the business of supporting everybody else's right to have that opinion. And so we're being very careful, but we are, you can assure people that we are taking it serious when it's clearly out of bounds.
It's funny how these unintended consequences, the karma that goes with it. When I ran last year, I had a few signs up on A Street. I don't know if you've driven A Street, but you know, it's just green almost all the way down there a couple of years. But so we got all the signs up on the day you're allowed to. And then the next day, here comes a city truck taking every sign down, every sign. And the problem was, in our code, there's the 2 feet and 3 feet part, but there's also not on city right-of-way. Well, on A Street, because it was reclassified, it's 60 feet wide. I mean, the street's not 60 feet wide, but the right-of-way is 60 feet. So the right-of-way, you know, goes right through the middle of people's yards, sometimes right up next to their house. And, of course, they were doing the 2 and 3 feet, so they all came down. So then, you know, they say, all right, look, we'll just do the 2 feet, 3 feet, so all the signs go back up. Well, that was wonderful for me because people saw the signs.
Wondered where they went.
Then they saw the signs right away. Then they saw the signs came back. It was like a double benefit.
Like a gift.
Yeah, they noticed them twice. So, and I'm sure that wasn't the intent when they took the signs down. So.
Well, the good news is it'll all be over soon.
Yeah. It's kind of a shame that the police resources are being being used for this.
Well, I do think it's important that, you know, just like when you have apartments that have broken windows and you have a visible violation of the law that's allowed to stand, and then people begin to lose faith in it. And so I think it is important that we make an effort to...
Well, Oh, yeah, and we are. We absolutely are. And most people are very satisfied. It's a very small group of people that are very vocally angry about not taking down every single sign that's, you know, 23 inches instead of 24. You know, there's that small group, and we're trying to, you know, to deal with that, but we're also trying to be non-political, which is where we need to be.
I understand you need to do that.
One last item. The county had a giveaway, but people had to sign up for these 3-gallon emergency water BPA-free bottles. And there were I helped with distributing them several weeks ago to people who had signed up previously, and then they drove through and picked up their water bottle. You're supposed to have one of these for every member of your family for each day, you know, of deprivation. Anyway, there were some surplus bottles, and I got one for each member of the PSAB and our liaison. So one for you, okay, and one for you, Steph. And then I have the others out in my car.
Oh, nice.
So
nice.
If you want to follow me out to the parking lot, right, guys, they'll give you your bottles.
Cool. It didn't come filled, huh?
Well, it says right on it, disinfect and fill with delicious tap water.
Is there anything else for the good of the order? We are meeting in November, I assume. Does anyone know if that interferes with the Thanksgiving week? Or is it after Thanksgiving?
I think it was the Monday. Yes, the 28th.
28th.
Okay. Thanksgiving is the 24th, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yep. Half right after the holiday.
Okay. Meeting's adjourned.
All right.
In our own decisions, but I'm not sure with Tri-City that we just, and certainly not to just dissolve and reform. If it's formed by a vote of the people, I wouldn't be comfortable with having it go without a vote of the people.
I'm not sure you understand all the details, so, and we can't share all the details with you here.
I'm still confused about your position. You're acting more like a metro councillor than you are a Westland city councillor, and I don't understand that. I think first and foremost, my responsibility is to advocate for the citizens of Oregon City, and the citizens, and Steve for the citizens of Glassdoor, and.